Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision book study. My name is Dawn B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Tuesday, December 12, 2023, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the book and we're at page XX, the second paragraph. Alcoholics Anonymous is not a religious organization, through one paragraph ending with the men of religion, commenting on this one paragraph today. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Yvonne A., 12 Traditions, Tanya P. Readers of the text, Dana P., Shelley E. will read page 164, and our backup reader is Diane B. The reference number for Monday, December 11th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 20,925. That's 20925. And for this morning, Tuesday, December 12th, 7 a.m. Time meeting, the reference number is 20,927. That's 20927. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Loretta M., and Robin P. will do the announcements. Thank you to everyone for your vital service. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Yvonne A. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, everybody. This is Yvonne A. in BC, Canada, and here are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked God to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Yvonne A. And now I'll ask Tanya P. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning. This is Tanya P., recovered in Michigan, and here are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups, or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and thank you for your service. I pass.
Thank you so much, Tanya P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page XX, the second paragraph, where it starts with, Alcoholics Anonymous is not a religious organization, through one paragraph ending with the men of religion, commenting on this one paragraph today. And I'll now ask Dana P. to begin reading and then share with us.
Good morning, Dawn. Thank you. Good morning, my friends and fellows, ladies and gentlemen. It's such an honor to do service. I'm Dana P. I'm in California. Alcoholics Anonymous is not a religious organization. Neither does AA take any particular medical point of view, though we cooperate widely with the men of medicine as well as with the men of religion. Short little paragraph here, and I did, look at this a bit and contemplate. I'm not going to really refer to the part about medicine, which is interesting because I'm in the medical field, but I looked at some definitions. And the first one I'm going to start with is a religion. And if you can keep my time, Dawn, I appreciate it. A religion is a particular system of faith and worship. It is also a pursuit or interest to which someone ascribes supreme importance. It is also a belief in a superhuman power. And so then I thought, okay, they're saying religious organization. So I looked up religious relating to or believing in a religion. So, round and round in a circle, right? A lot of A. And when I see that A word, it makes me think that it's just one specific thing. So I found out that there are nearly 4,000, quote-unquote, religious organizations or religions in the world. And 75% of them follow one of five, Christianity, Judaism, Buddhism, Hinduism, or Islam. So, there's a lot of religious organizations. An interesting thing is, when I look at this paragraph and when I look at the whole thing about AA is, we kind of are a religion in a way because we have a pursuit or interest that we ascribe to something of supreme importance, and we do believe in a superhuman power. The part that's different is that we're not organized, and we don't think that we have an A. We have an A superhuman power. And I love it. I love Bill's story, excuse me, where Abby talks about that, your own conception of a God, your own God. We each define our own. And then the word cooperate is to work jointly towards the same end. Well, then I look at this and I go, you know what? We're all the same. All of these 4,000 plus, I think there's probably more, is that we're all working towards a common joint end, if you will. And what that means is that we are all looking for some sort of God, some sort of superhuman power, something greater than ourselves, whether it's a religion, whatever it is. What I found in this book and working those steps is that I stopped looking. I stopped the ceaseless searching. And I was really realizing that it's really about finding God. And that's what happened to me as I worked through the steps and that having this spiritual experience and a continued spiritual awakening. Also like to refer to step 10 or tradition 10 quickly is this part about that we have no, Alcoholics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence the AA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. That word's not in the paragraph, but that is what we do. We do not discuss our religious beliefs so that we stay out of controversy. So sorry about my froggy throat, and I'm going to pass. I'd love to hear what everyone else has to say about this paragraph.
Thank you so much, Dana P. What a great way to get us started. And I'm now going to take the names of those who would like to share in this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us today?
Danielle W.
Danielle W.
Joanne P.
Joanne P.
Bruce E.
Deb E. in Israel.
Bruce E. and Deb E. Okay, let's start with that lineup. I have Danielle W., Joanne P., Bruce E., and Deb E. Go ahead, Danielle. Please share with us. Let us know where you're link from, if you would.
Okay, thanks. Danielle W., from Southern California. I'm very happy to be here with everybody today. I remember when I came in to the rooms, I was really desperate. Years and years of compulsive overeating, and just so much of my focus was on trying to control my disease. And I remember when I first came in, you know, the talk of God, people would share their religious beliefs. And for me, it was very off-putting. And I had to be reminded that, you know, this is not a religious organization and that everybody is welcome and everybody has the right to define our own God. But early on, I didn't really understand what that meant. And so I would bristle at these comments. And finally, somebody said to me, you know, Danielle, you should look at your relationship to religion because it feels like you have a lot of resentment. And I had never thought about it like that, but I carried a lot of, a lot of baggage from my past, the way I had been raised, the religion that I had been raised in, the issues, how I felt about certain organizations and the way that children had been affected by them. And so I had a lot of baggage. And I finally realized that I had to, in my fourth step, reconcile the resentments that I had in order to have a relationship with a higher power. I couldn't begin to define my own higher power until I let go of these preconceived notions. And, you know, today I'm at peace. Everybody has the right, not just me, everybody has the right to believe what they want to believe and share what they want to share. And I don't have to agree with it. I can take the good with the bad. I can be respectful of differing opinions. It's one of the greatest things about this program, I feel, is that it opens the door wide for everybody. But I couldn't get there. I couldn't get there until I did the work that I cleaned out the wreckage of my past as it related to my preconceptions about religion and about who God was and my relationship to that. And that's an amazing thing that this this work, the 12-step work, affords us the opportunity to do that. I don't know any other spiritual experience that allows us to go so deeply into our understanding, the God of our understanding. But this amazing program does just that. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Danielle W. from California. Joanne P., please share with us, followed by Bruce E.
Good morning, everybody. This is Joanne P. from Pennsylvania. So thankful to be here this morning, and thank you for the previous shares. It's an interesting paragraph. When I read this, I think about AA as not being a religious organization. When I came in to program less than 3.5 years ago, I knew the God of my religion. I thought I had a relationship with the God of my religion, but having worked these 12 steps, I realized I really wasn't trusting God. I wasn't surrendering my life to God. I was telling God what was wrong and how I thought it should be fixed because I was so, you know, self-righteous, self-whatever. So, yeah, AA is a spiritual program. AA gives us a higher power that means different things to different people, but all-encompassing, whoever you want your higher power to be, we all have a higher power that we can trust. And this program has taught me to surrender my life, which are my actions, and my will, which are my thoughts, to God, right? And trust that He will take care of everything. And it is not an easy task, but it is the solution, I think, and a beautiful part of our program. And then it goes on here to say about we cooperate with men of medicine. Yeah, as well as men of religion. So my nutritionist supports our program, and I haven't taken any medicine, which she would recommend to help you lose weight. So she says to me, it's remarkable that you've lost the weight that you've lost without taking any medicine. In fact, it's pretty unheard of for people to lose that much weight and not have help, you know, with some. And that's, you know, that's our program, right? That's God doing for us what we can't do for ourselves. However, you know, ordering the blood work, I'm a little discouraged because my weight has plateaued and I haven't been losing. I have more to lose and I haven't been losing it. But my blood work comes back and my cholesterol dropped 20 points. I'm no longer pre-diabetic. That number came down. And so I feel like that's God, too, encouraging me to continue. Just be patient. Surrender what's going on in my life to Him and trust His will in my life. And then the religious, oh my gosh, men of religion. I went to confession twice in the last year working these steps with my sponsor to a priest who is a recovering alcoholic, and runs an addiction center. I just have to share with you the two penances he gave me, which will be my gift from him because he just passed away a couple weeks ago. The first penance was to write a letter of gratitude to God. And wow, what a humbling experience that was. And what a beautiful thing to do, you know, just thank God for what you have. And the second time I went to him, my penance was, every day I want you to pray for those who are still suffering.
Time.
With that, I pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Joanne P. Bruce E. from Pennsylvania. Bruce E., please share with us, followed by Deb E. And if you happen to be just joining us, we are on page XX, talking about the second paragraph that starts with Alcoholics Anonymous is not a religious organization, through that one paragraph ending with the men of religion. So, Bruce E., go ahead, please share with us.
Okay, I'm here, but I'm not in Pennsylvania. It's Bruce E., and I'm south of Pennsylvania. I'm in Fort Myers, Florida. And I'm recovered today. Thank you, God. And I like the reading. Alcoholics Anonymous is not a religious organization. Needs any particular medical view, nor does it take any particular medical view. Okay. So if it's a religious organization, then we wouldn't have near the number of people in it that we have. So it would limit it too much. And, and I'm okay on the religious thing. I just want you to be the same denomination as me. Right? So, yeah, if you're religious, that's fine. And you better be the same denomination. If you're not the same denomination, then I I'm out with you. And also, if you're religious and the same denomination and you can't stay sober, then I'm going, hey, why can't you stay sober? Then I'm judging you, right? So I had a conversation with a woman about 20 years ago or so. I still remember this. And she had one point of view, I had another point of view. And she said, when we couldn't come to an agreement or anything. And she said, well, you're a different denomination than I am. So, yeah, so that separated us in our points of view, right? So here's the deal. The religion, I try to keep out of it. You know, I'm a religious person, but I try to keep out of it. You know, I try to keep that out of it because that doesn't get me anywhere in my recovery when I bring that up. So, here's the deal way I had explained to me. So I was using the religious model to try to get well, and it didn't work. You know, it was, oh, God, save me. God, you know, take the food away. Lord, help me when I go to this out to eat at this place, that not to overeat and all that. And that didn't work for me. So I had a guy explain to me, instead of using a religious model, why don't you use the disease model? If I take some sugar or if I use the wrong ingredients of something, or I use an item that's on my red light list, it's going to trigger the allergy. This is a disease model to me. It triggers the allergy, and then in turn, that sets off the phenomenon of craving, which is physical. And then that opens up the door for the obsession and the compulsion to come in, which is the mental, the psychological. So that's the disease model. That seems to work for me. That seems to make sense, that I have an allergy to specific foods and types of behaviors around food, and triggers the allergy, which is all the physical, and then the phenomenon of craving. Thank you. And then the obsession and the compulsion. And I pass.
Thank you so much, Bruce E. from Florida. Deb E., please share with us, and then I'll be taking some more names.
Thank you. Hi, this is Deb E., recovered compulsive overeater in Israel. And it's so good to be back on a live meeting. My schedule changed, and I've not been able to get on for, like, weeks now. So there was a change today, and the stars aligned, so I'm really grateful to be able to share. What I like about this paragraph is that it's a reminder of how, they were really smart to keep us out of talks, like some of the most controversial talks, right? Like, people get into heated discussions about religion and politics and, like, all the things that we refrain from discussing in meetings and that OA as a whole refrains from having an opinion on. And I've always really appreciated that. It's interesting to think of it as, I like how the first reader, like, mentioned, like, you know, could we look at it, explaining why we can't. But I've often thought of my OA practice, if I can call it that, as a sort of religion. You know, the big book is the text that I refer to. And I have a power that's greater than me that I look to for guidance. So in a lot of ways, like, for what I look for from religion, it kind of fits the bill. But I've always thought of OA as a spiritual program, and I think that's pretty much, you know, what it is. It's not. And I think that's why it can appeal to people from all different kinds of religions, and it's one of the most about it is that it makes it, like, accepting of everyone and acceptable to everyone, I think. And I also hear like humility in this paragraph, that we're like, they're saying that they, you know, they don't say they know better than men of religion or men of medicine. You know, they're going to cooperate because they understand that they don't know everything, and that they realize that the people involved in religion and people involved in medicine and the professionals in those fields will have something worthwhile to say and to add that we can learn from. And to me, it's just like a reminder of that message that I can learn from anybody. I can, you know, one of the big things I had coming in here was that I didn't want to ask anyone for help, and I thought I knew I had all the answers myself. And I've learned that I absolutely need to ask for help from a lot of different sources, and I definitely don't have all the answers. And I'm happy today that I don't have all the answers, and I like to have that humility. And I've really learned how to ask for help. I still have a way to go with it. You know, my default is still like not to ask for help, but I ask for help in ways that I never did before. That's just one of the few of the many changes, I should say, that I've had since Ogam. Thanks so much for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Deb E. from Israel. And I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us? As I mentioned, we're on page XX in the foreword to the second edition.
Hi, that's Sandy F. from Nevada.
Okay, Cindy F.
Sandy.
Oh, Sandy. Sorry about that.
Janet.
Janet. Was that Janet P?
G like George.
Oh, Jeanette P.
Gee, I don't have my teeth in yet.
Oh, I'm so, no worries. Janet G.
Yes, from Las Vegas.
Perfect. Ah, thanks so much. Who else?
Kevin N.
Was that Kevin A?
Kevin N.
Ronnie B.
Kevin N. And Ronnie B. And Wendy M.
Jordan L.
And Jordan L. Okay, I have Sandy F, Janet G, Kevin N, Ronnie B, Wendy M, Jordan L. Did I miss anyone? Oh, okay, Sandy F, please go ahead and get us started and let us know where you're calling from.
Good morning, Sandy F from Las Vegas, Nevada. I just want to share like an epiphany I experienced this morning in this paragraph made me think of it. And that is, at this time of year, I always get depressed thinking about after Christmas. Because during the holidays, I get so happy and so excited. And I finally realized, oh, the world, or most of the world that I live in, they're all celebrating a higher power. And it's obvious they're shopping, they're out there, everybody's being graceful, there's songs about a higher power. It seems like the whole world is celebrating what I've been spending my life searching for. And I feel happy, joyous, and free. And then after Christmas, it all goes away. So I just wanted to share that. I'm happy, and that's why I love going to meetings, and I find such peace there, is because in the meetings, everybody's searching for the same thing I'm searching for. So God bless y'all. Thank you for making a path for me to a heaven on earth. God bless. Thanks. I pass.
Thank you so much, Sandy F. from Nevada. Janet G., please share with us, followed by Kevin N.
I'm Janet, a compulsive overeater. And I was raised a devout Catholic, and my idea of God or a higher power was kind of a Santa Claus. He stayed in heaven. He watched over me all day. And he kept track of everything I did right and everything I did wrong. And if I did something wrong, that was a sin, I had to go to confession and make it right. And then when I died, I would meet him and we'd talk about it. If, you know, overall I was good and deserved heaven, or I had been bad and deserved hell, you know. And but with AA, it has really made my higher power come alive in my life. I have a relationship with him. I'm getting to know him and trust him and love him and admire him, you know. And it is like the AA book is my user's manual. It tells me exactly what I need to do to live in compliance with my higher power's way, because then I will have happiness. I'll be happy, joyous, and free. And so far, it's worked. There's been a lot of miracles in my life. There's been a lot of blind spots and stumbles, too, you know. And I always say it's not the big rocks in my path that give me a hard time. It's the little gravel in my shoe that bugs the heck out of me, you know, as I walk this path. But I love this program. So I kind of agree. It's not a religious program, but it's very spiritual. And it feeds us what we need to hear. And that empty spot within us, it's our spiritual food. Thank you for letting me share.
Oh, thank you so much, Janet G. Kevin N., please share with us, followed by Ronnie B., and please let us know where you're calling from. Star one, Kevin.
Sorry about that. Thought I had it. Hi, this is Kevin N., gratefully recovering compulsive overeater out here in Whidbey Island, Washington. It was interesting listening to this paragraph today. As it says, you know, we're not a religious organization, nor do we endorse a particular medical point of view. And then it said men of medicine and men of religion. And the first thing I thought was like, wow, that's two groups of people who have hurt me pretty badly in the past. I don't imagine I'm the only one on this call who's had a doctor look right through them, essentially, because the only thing that they can see is obesity. That is somehow the only thing that could possibly ever be wrong with me. The only person who's had, a priest, a pastor, a minister, some person in a position of religious authority, you know, essentially condemn thoughts or actions or anything as being, you know, unrighteous, unpenitent, whatever. And so it's comforting for me to come to this place, to these meetings, and know that there's not a particular agenda being essentially forced on me. There's an invitation, and that invitation is simply, do you want to change the way that you're living? Our only requirement for membership is a desire to live differently. Even the involvement of a higher power in one's life is not a requirement. It's, you know, sort of understood that if you want to do this, you're going to have to find one. But you can come in and find shelter and comfort within the room regardless, just so long as you have that desire. And, you know, that for me is something really to build on, because I know that the places that I've been hurt in my life are, you know, I need to find some healing for those wounds. I don't need to hide those away forever. And that will mean confronting some painful parts. But, you know, I believe that that is ultimately going to be part of my road to recovery. So grateful to be here, grateful to have a chance to share. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Kevin N. from Washington. Ronnie B., please share with us, followed by Wendy M. And just a quick reminder, we are on page XX, talking about that second paragraph. Alcoholics Anonymous is not a religious organization through that one paragraph today. So, Ronnie B., please go ahead and share.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Ronnie B. in Missouri, gratefully recovered in this program. I like this piece a lot. I like doing all of the forwards, to be honest. But this one stands out for a lot of reasons that were already said. But one word in particular that I would often not do, and that is the word cooperate. Because I had a particular view, it was going to be that particular view. And anyone else's was incorrect, and it was up for debate. Just having a different, as somebody said, point of view. It had to be a debate to let them know, let them know how stupid they are, because look how smart I am. I have the right point of view. And I mean, every once in a while, I'm sure I still get this thought of, I simply can't comprehend how people can think like that about a particular thing. And that has vastly changed. And in fact, it's wonderful for me to see what I looked like when I was doing that, because my son, bless his soul, may one day he get recovery, deems it, and he agrees, right? So much of this program is about me agreeing to have a sponsor, working the steps, having a sponsor, going to meetings, sharing, right? But now I do understand even better, because when I see my son, I can see that mirror image. When, you know, he wants to have a friendly debate. There's no friendly debates in my home when it comes to anything like politics and things like that. So, you know, he'll come in and he'll say, let's talk about this. I want your point of view. I'm like, oh, no, you don't. You know, and I know better today. I really do. So this whole idea of, so just to cooperate, to not look to be that person who fights, to cease fighting anyone and anything, in particular when it comes to their view on spiritual, even on spirituality. You know, I grew up Catholic, and that's fine because I have some really good stuff with that. It was good. But, you know, over the years, once I got clean in all my programs, I could see things outside of that. I began to read about other kinds of religious and spiritual entities and organizations. You know, I'll go on silent retreats. I go to Buddhist monasteries. You know, I read different people like Emmett Fox and Ed Casey and whatever it happens to be, because today I have that kind of an open mind. And not on everything and not all of the time, but absolutely a lot of the time and on many things. So anyway, this just reminds me that if I want to cooperate, and I think it's even in our tradition, that we agree to cooperate, you know, with separate entities in a way, time. Yeah, but we cooperate with Alcoholics Anonymous. Anyway, that's all I have. Thank you for your service.
Thank you so much, Ronnie B. from Missouri. Wendy M., please share with us, followed by Jordan L., and then I'll take a couple more names.
Good morning. This is Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado. Don, thank you so much for your service. I'm loving the shares. So, yeah, I grew up in a family of what I would call the debating society. And it's how are we different and how that's not going to be safe, right? So I remember my first abstinent meal 23 years ago in a Chinese restaurant, of all things. And it was my brother first said, wow, you have great willpower. So I knew, you know, something was wrong. And then he said, yeah, and isn't that organization a Christian organization, right? And my stomach tightened up, and I said, oh, my God, we're being, you know, messed with. This isn't safe for Jews and all of that nonsense. That's how I grew up. How are you different from me? How are we not going to get along? How is this unsafe, right? So I get into the rooms and instantly I belong. Instantly, you're like me. You're exactly like me. And I'm exactly like you. And it doesn't matter at all where we came from, you know. And belonging is so deeply satisfying, at least for this compulsive overeater, because I didn't belong to anything. We were different and the world wasn't safe, right? So this is issue of it's a spiritual program, not a religious program. When I hear the word religious, I get nervous. You know, something's wrong and that religion isn't mine, right? So I get to practice, you know, these traditions and they and everything they're saying here is a miracle. Like, it's magical. Like, how do they even know? How do they even know, you know, not to practice religion or medicine or anything, just fill in the blank. Like, how do they know to do that? How do they know that we need a safe place to land, right? Because safety is something that, as an overeater, I never felt, you know. And today, the greatest joy is listening to each other nodding our heads and saying, yes, me too. I'm just like you. I belong. So it's brilliant. And in terms of spirituality, more and more, I mean, over the years, this relationship with God, it just gets stronger. You know, the more you work the steps, the closer I get to God. The closer I get to God, the more I'm going to work the steps, you know. And I always say this. I say, you know, I don't know that I believe in God, but I experience God constantly. So, you know, you get on the line, you experience God. You put your name out to be a sponsor. You talk to a sponsee. You talk to somebody who's struggling today. And then you experience God. That's how you experience it. If I tell the truth or I lie and tell the truth about lying, I experience God, right? If I don't, if the food's not honest, I get to tell somebody. And then I get to experience God. Every time I surrender, every time I tell the truth, I experience God. I think that's my time. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Wendy M. from Colorado. Jordan L., please share with us.
Hey, good morning, Dawn. Thanks for moderating for us this morning. There is a serious echo in my ear if anyone's unmuted, but... my name's Jordan Al. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. I'm very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting this morning. And I really appreciate everything that has been shared so far. When I came in here, I was pretty broken. And I had established relationships with religion and medicine already. Like someone had talked about already, those weren't great relationships for me. But I think that what I wanted to say really fits for both types of folks coming in here. Like, even the folks that come in here and do have good relationships with medicine and religion, because when we come in here, the simple fact is this: what we've been doing so far hasn't worked. That's why we're here, you know, like that's how we get here, is what we've done so far hasn't worked, you know, and it's necessary that we come to that. Like, that's step one, and even a little bit of step two in a nutshell, right? And so as I continue moving through the steps, I need a relationship with power, and it's got to be a relationship that I've never had with power before. It's new. It's something completely new that I don't understand, and this is necessary for each one of us because what we've done so far hasn't worked. So I really have to be open, and I got to let go of those relationships that I have with religion and medicine. In order to find a new relationship with power, in order to experience food neutrality as a compulsive overeater, you know, that's a big deal. It's a really big deal. And that's all I really wanted when I started out on this process. And I got that, most definitely, and I'm very grateful for it. And then I kept going, because what I found was that I wanted some peace of mind, too, not just around food, but around everything in my life. And by practicing the 12 steps, I found that, too. So thanks for letting me share. That's all I got.
Thank you so much, Jordan L. from Colorado. And I have time now for a couple-minute, two-minute share. Who would like to take that? Who hasn't
Alex
shared in the last
K.
few days? Alex K. Very good. Go ahead, Alex.
Thank you so much, everyone, for being here. Alex K. in California, compulsive eater, recovered just for today. I am so grateful it's a not a religious organization, but it took me a while to understand the difference between religious and spiritual. I was so anti-religion when I first came. I cringed every time I heard the word God at meetings, but I kept coming back, thank goodness, and my mind started opening little by little. I learned that the program doesn't tell me I have to believe in any particular God in any particular way, but it encourages me to be open-minded about the idea that there's a power greater than myself that can restore me to sanity. And over time, lots of meetings and talking to other people and doing the steps, I've come to believe that I do have a higher power who's unconditional love and wants the best for me, helps me with everything and takes good care of me. And I never would have imagined that I'd have this strong connection with a compassionate spiritual presence that's now the most important thing in my life, and it makes everything in my life better. Just the fact that my food compulsion and obsession has been removed and I have peace with food is evidence of my higher power restoring me sanity. And that's just one of the many miraculous transformations in my life that show my higher power doing for me what I could never do for myself. Thanks, everyone. Bess.
Thank you so much, Alex K., and for everyone who shared today, making this meeting just really a wonderful experience. And we're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Shelley E. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning. I'm so sorry. My headphones are giving up. This is Shelley E., a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Arlington, Texas. The Big Book, page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for a man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you for letting me do service, and I pass.